Chapter 43. I was still sorting things out after the titanic wallop the explosion had given the inside of my skull, when a dark-furred wolf emerged from the shadows of the night and slammed into Madeline Wraith like a loaded armored car. I heard bones breaking under the impact, and she was ripped off of me by the force of the dark wolf's rush. Will didn't stop there. He'd already hammered her once, and he knew better than to try his strength in fighting with a vampire, even if the members of the White Court were physically the weakest of the breed. He hit the ground and bounded away into the dark. Madeline screamed in surprised rage, and her gun went off several times, but I'm not sure you could call it shooting. She was on her knees, firing that big old desert eagle with one delicate hand and holding the now broken tequila bottle in the other, when a sandy brown wolf swept by on silent paws and ripped at Madeline's weapon hand with her fangs. The rip went deep into the muscles and tendons of Madeline's forearm, an almost surgically precise attack. The gun tumbled from her fingers and she whirled to swing the broken bottle at Georgia, but she was no more eager for a fair fight than Will had been, and by the time Madeline turned, Georgia was already bounding away, and Will, unnoticed, was on his way back in again. Fangs flashed, pale wraith blood flowed. The two wolves rushed back and forth in perfect rhythm, never giving the vampire a chance to pin one of them down. When Madeline finally realized how they were working her, she attempted to reverse herself suddenly the same instant Georgia began to retreat to meet Will's rush squarely. But Will and Georgia had learned their trade from a real wolf, and they'd had 8 years of what amounted to low-intensity but deadly earnest combat duty, defending several square blocks around the university from the depredations of both supernatural and mortal predators. They knew when the reverse was coming, and Georgia simply pirouetted on her paws and blindsided Madeline again. The vampire screamed in frustrated rage. She was furious, and she was slowing down. The members of the White Court were flesh and blood beings. They bled. Bleed them enough, and they would die. I forced myself to start using my head again, finally shaking off the effects of both Madeline's psychotically delicious kiss and the concussion of whatever had exploded. I realized that I was covered with small cuts and scratches, that I was otherwise fine, and that Binder was less than 20 feet away. "Will! Georgia!" I screamed. "Gun!" The wolves leapt out of sight and vanished into the forest, with barely a leaf disturbed by their movements, half a second before Binder came out of the woods, a semi-automatic assault shotgun pressed against his shoulder. The mercenary was dressed in a wetsuit as well, though he'd put on a combat jacket and equipment harness over it and wore combat boots on his feet. Binder aimed the weapon after Will and Georgia and started rapidly hammering the woods with shells, more or less at random. Everyone thinks that shotgun pellets spread out to some ridiculous degree, and that if you aim a shotgun at a garage door and pull the trigger, you'll be able to drive a car through the resulting hole. That isn't so. Even when a shotgun has a very, very short barrel, which allows the load of pellets to spread out more. A longer-barreled weapon, like Binder's, will only spread the pellets out to about the size of my spread fingers at 100 or 150 yards. Odds were good that he hadn't hit a damn thing, and given his experience, he probably knew it. He must have kept up the salvo to increase the intimidation factor and force the wolves to stay on the run. In the heat and adrenaline of a battle, gunshots can be hard to count, but I knew he fired 8 times. I knew because through demon reach, I could feel the 8 brass and plastic shell casings lying on the ground around him. He stood protectively over Madeline as he reached into his pockets, presumably to reload the weapon with fresh shells. I didn't give him the chance. I pulled my .44 out of my duster pocket, sat up, and tried to stop wobbling. I sighted on his center mass and pulled the trigger. The revolver roared, and Binder's left leg flew out from beneath him as if someone had hit it with a 20-pound mallet. He let out a yelp of what sounded more like surprise than pain and hit the ground hard. In the odd little beat of heavy silence that came after the shot, I almost felt sorry for the guy. He'd had a tough couple of days. I heard him suck in a quick breath and clench his teeth over a howl of pain. Madeline whirled toward me, her dark hair gone stringy and flat in the rain. Her eyes burned pure white, as the hunger, the demon inside her, fed her more and more of its power and asserted more and more control. Her wetsuit had been torn open in several places, and paler than human blood smeared her paler than human flesh. She wasn't moving as well as she should have been, but she stalked toward me in a hunter's crouch, deliberate and steady.